WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
Hey, what's going on, good people? Welcome to Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin, on this Tuesday, April 29th, 2014. Hope you all are having a good one. Boy, we have a lot to talk about on today's show at 2 p.m., actually. Interesting story, of course, with Donald Sterling. We talked about it pretty in-depth yesterday on what will possibly happen to Donald Sterling after his comments when it concerned African-American players in his organization with, of course, the Los Angeles Clippers. At 2 p.m., Adam Silver, who is the commissioner of the National Basketball Association, he is going to address the media on what will happen with Donald Sterling. And you know what? So right after we get off the air, actually, that presser will be taking place. And we're asking you all to call in and give your thoughts on what do you think should happen to Donald Sterling. 517-355-9527. 517-355-9527. It is just amazing how this story has just still been in the top of the top of headliners, not only in the world of sports, but news and entertainment. It's unbelievable. I mean, you can't turn on the TV and watch a newscast without somebody mentioning it or discussing it. And, you know, it really has taken a lot of headway. And so much so that on here on Current Sports, you know, each and every Tuesday here, we have a top five segment where we dive into a top five sort of sports topic that we dive into each and every Tuesday here on the show. And on this Tuesday, we're actually going to list the top five most, you know, socially sensitive moments in sports history, okay? I mean, there's been so many moments such as, you know, Muhammad Ali refusing to fight in the Vietnam War, the O.J. Simpson case, Riley Cooper. I mean, there's so many moments in sports that extend beyond just your typical X's and O's story and really challenges, you know, just the conversation in our modern society that dives into things such as culture and beyond. So on today's show, again, the top five socially sensitive moments in sports history, that should be an interesting one to say the least. And again, our phone lines will be open this entire hour for you to weigh in on that topic and so much more. 517-355-9527. In just a minute on today's show, we are going to talk with MSU head women's golf coach Stacy Slobodnik-Stoll. She is one outstanding individual, and her team, I tell you what a moment it was as Michigan State, they clinched a share of the Big Ten championship over the weekend, tying with Ohio State for the win. And the way they did it was really the remarkable part of the story. Stacy is going to break down that remarkable moment. We're going to break down the remarkable moment in just a second, and we're going to talk about that and so much more. They also had the selection show, the NCAA tourney selection show yesterday for the MSU women's golf team, and they are headed to the NCAA regionals for a 16th consecutive year. Quite the accomplishment, so don't want to miss that. She will join us around the 1:15-ish mark of today's show, and after that, we'll talk about what you didn't get to yesterday, the Red Wings as they lose in the playoffs to the Boston Bruins. What's next for them? And talk a little bit about the MSU North End Zone Project, which is if you happen to be on campus and you haven't driven by Spartan Stadium, that side of Spartan Stadium, boy, I tell you, construction is certainly underway and big things are planned for it. Actually, a little over $24 million are being put into that investment. Quite the scene over there right now. We'll talk about it, break it down, and tell you what exactly is coming as far as that is concerned. We hope to get Greg Ianni, who is, of course, with MSU's development services and facilities on campus, to talk about that project. So you don't want to miss that throughout the week. And last but not least, Current Sports TV is back in action this Wednesday. That's right, tomorrow, actually. Tomorrow night at 6 p.m., I will be sitting down with the newly named captain of the MSU hockey team, Mike Ferentino, a great, great, great young man. He's going to break down this past season for the MSU hockey team and the future outlook and his new role as now captain of the team. That should be an interesting discussion. You can be a part of the live audience on Wednesday night by going to WKAR.org. and signing up for free. Always a great time each and every Wednesday night. Okay, in the meantime, here are your current sports quick hit headliners for this April 29th, 2014. All right, Dr. Jack Ramsey, folks, a Hall of Fame coach who led the Portland Trail Blazers to the 1977 NBA championship before he became one of the NBA's most respected broadcasters. He was unbelievable behind the mic. He has died, folks, following a long battle with cancer. He was 89 years old. His family announced his death, saying he, quote, led the greatest life that one could lead. Ramsey coached in the NBA for parts of 21 seasons before embarking on a second career as an NBA analyst for ESPN. He was diagnosed with melanoma in 2004 and battled growths and tumors that spread to his legs, lungs, and brain, as well as prostate cancer and most recently a Meral syndrome. Now, Ramsey was 864 and 783 in his entire NBA career, and in 1996 was honored as one of the league's top 10 all-time coaches. Again, Jack Ramsey, Hall of Fame coach, passes away at the age of 89. All right, when Golden State Warriors assistant coach Darren Erman was fired earlier this month, the reason given was a, quote, violation of company policy. So what exactly did Aaron do? Turns out that, I tell you what, it's a crazy story. Darren Erman, he violated the company's policy by secretly recording conversations between the team's coaches and players and you know, on and off the court. Now, sources said Erman, who was Coach Mark Jackson's second assistant, will record coaches' meetings, meetings between coaches and players, and informal discussions among coaches that took place in the team's coaches' room, all without the participants' knowledge. One source said, an unnamed source said, quote, he was taping everything, taping pregame speeches. Wouldn't have been that bad, but he was taping guys just sitting around talking in the coach's office. My goodness, this epidemic, I tell you, just recording conversations. Of course, we're seeing it with the whole Donald Sterling situation right now. I mean, my goodness, I mean, everybody's wearing a wire now, I guess. So anyway, Darren Erman has been fired again for recording informal conversations that just don't need to be recorded. I don't know what he was fishing after. But all right, Donald Sterling. Speaking of Donald Sterling, NBA Commissioner, again, Adam Silver, he will address the Donald Sterling investigation at a news conference today at 2 p.m. in New York. Now, Silver is under pressure from various sources from around the league to levy punishment for Sterling's racist remarks to an ex-girlfriend released by TMZ over the weekend. Again, pressers at 2 o'clock. And is Silver's first major controversy as a commissioner. We're asking you to call in and weigh in on it. Of course, many of you probably know about, if you haven't heard about this, you've probably been living under a rock, but the whole Donald Sterling situation, many of you know about this story. We discussed it in length yesterday on Current Sports, and we're asking you to call in. Again, it's going to take place right after Current Sports goes off. We're asking you to call in and give your thoughts on what exactly should, you know, what should happen to Donald. You know, should a you know, should it be a huge fine and a suspension? Should it be banned from the league? What type of punishment should Donald Sterling get? 517-355-9527. 517-355-9527. All right, folks, if you haven't seen Reggie Bush's house that he is selling, man, oh, man, it will blow your mind. Now, you can easily own this house for a cool $6 million. You can buy his old pad. It's really, really nice. The former USC star, he has put his three-story, 5,000-square-feet home in the Hollywood Hills on the market. The home features a pool built right into the ground, a rooftop deck, an impressive view of the city. He's got floors that are made of glass where you can look down each and every story of the home. He's got a built-in elevator that takes you to all three stories. I mean, it's unbelievable. It is really, really nice. Again, you can catch the pictures online. But, yeah, he's selling it for $6 million, probably getting something bigger than that, I'm guessing. But, man, is it nice. All right, and this is just a really crazy story to me. Shaq, Shaquille O'Neal, and others have received harsh criticism for poking fun at a disabled fan's selfie. Now, if you don't know what a selfie is, folks, a selfie is when you whip out your phone and you turn on your camera and you turn the camera towards you as you hold out the phone and you take a picture. It's a selfie. It's a self-portrait of you taken by you. Now, Metro Detroiter Jamel Binion, whose missing teeth and abnormal hair is a result of a rare disorder called ecdermal dysplasia. He saw his selfie mocked by TNT anchor Shaquille O'Neal on Instagram. The photo caption, quote, "Smile today," garnered 14,000 likes and saw former Michigan star Trey Burke join in on the tease. And come on, guys, that's just not right. Now, O'Neal has taken the picture down, and Binion plans on using the attention to launch an anti-bullying campaign called, quote, "Hug, Don't Judge." Gotta love that, man. And I am told, reading about this, Shaq has tried to reach out to Binion, but hasn't gotten a response as of yet. This is another situation. It goes beyond, you know, it's a socially sensitive situation. It goes beyond just your typical sports story. And, you know, bullying is so prevalent in today's society, especially when you talk about cyberbullying through social media platforms like Instagram. You got to really watch what you post and what you're doing out there, folks. That's the bottom line of this whole message. So we'll see how that turns out. But, yeah, it's a pretty cool anti-bullying campaign. Again, hug, don't judge. Pretty admirable campaign from Jamal Binion. And hope that situation gets resolved and checked. I'm sure you apologize. I mean, come on, man. All right, the Tigers and White Sox. Justin Verlander is going after a fourth straight win today when the Tigers take on the Chicago White Sox at U.S. Cellular Field. Verlander, he beat the White Sox the previous time. He took the ball as he improved to 3-1 on the year to go along with a 2.18 ERA. First pitch is 8-10 tonight. Should be a good one. Lugnuts, unfortunate news for them yesterday. The Dayton Dragons, they coasted to an 8-4 victory over the Lansing Lugnuts in Monday's series opener after a 6-run first inning. Oh, that's ugly. Now, Dewal Lugo, he went 2-for-3 with a pair of runs, and Justin Atkinson had two RBIs for the Luggies. Dayton and Lansing will meet again at 7 o'clock tonight. And the new North End Zone project at Spartan Stadium won't be opening in July as originally scheduled, but the school is still confident it can finish in time for the start of the football season. If you haven't seen it, again, if you haven't seen it, driven by and seen it, it is really, really coming along here. It will be, again, it will be finished in time for the start of the football season. Pretty cool stuff as Flozell Adams, he donated $1.5 million to the project, specifically going to the locker room, which will be named after his mother. It's going to be really, really nice. It's about three times the size as the locker room that the Michigan State football team has right now. Well deserved for a Rose Bowl winning program, I must say. Now, again, $24.5 million is the project. It includes new locker rooms, a media room, and a recruiting lounge. And is currently scheduled for completion on August 15th. So mark your calendars for that. A really, really nice project, which is designed, at the end of the day, we know these type of projects are designed to attract recruits. And this really would do that, without a doubt. All right. And the MSU women's golf team. How about this, folks? Michigan State's women's golf team. We talked about it yesterday on our headliners. It's unbelievable because the how they got here is pretty incredible. Alyssa Farrell, she sunk a 9-foot putt to clinch a share of the Big Ten title. But get this, it was right after an Ohio State player had sank a 20-footer to put the pressure all on Alyssa. So if Alyssa would have missed that 9-foot putt, Michigan State wouldn't be talking right now about Michigan State clinching a share of the Big Ten championship title. Unbelievable stuff. But anyway, we talked about that yesterday. Now, last night, the NCAA tournament championships were revealed, and the Michigan State women's golf team is headed to the NCAA regionals for a 16th consecutive year. How about that? 16 straight. Man, just money in the bag, folks. The Spartans, who earned the Big Ten's automatic bid after claiming that share of the Big Ten championship on Sunday in French Lick, Indiana, they received a number 8 seed in the NCAA West Regional. The NCAA committee announced that, again, last night. Now, the Spartans will head to Tumble Creek Club at Sucadia Resort on May 8th through the 10th in Washington for regional action. Now, the tournament will be hosted by the University of Washington. MSU will be looking to make its 12th appearance at the NCAA championships with a top 8 finish at the NCAA Central Regional. So, there you have that. And just a moment, we're going to be talking with Stacy Slobotnik-Stoll, who is the MSU Women's Golf Head Coach. You don't want to miss that. And, before we get to Stacy, who will be calling in just a sec, we have a caller right now, Bob from DeWitt. How you doing? Welcome to Current Sports.
Well, thank you, Al. With regard to Donald Sterling, I don't know anybody with any sense of decency who isn't at the least upset about his remarks. You can't condone that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But I have been reading every sports columnist that I can find about this, and there seems to be an absolute, well, I don't want to use an inappropriate term, but the mentality is, judge the guy, throw him out, hang him, do everything, and more than that, condemning the NBA for not doing something prematurely. These guys, the NBA is a big outfit. They have to go through a process like everybody else. But the NBA has been condemned even as severely as Sterling has for not immediately hanging the guy. Give the NBA a chance to go through what it has to go through to determine what actually happened and what's possible. You can't just, Mr. Silver can't just automatically say, okay, Sterling is,
right,
banished to Antarctica for the rest of his life.
Right.
Give the NBA a break here. Let them do their job, find out what they're going to do, and then maybe make a couple of judgments. But the if you read the newspapers, the words umbrage and their kin can't be repeated too often.
Right. Right. I totally agree. Hey, Bob, thanks a lot for the call. Great insight.
You're
there.
You're welcome.
And I think that is a very good point, because you know what? I think a lot of individuals out there and a lot of columnists out there who have written on this and covered this story up to this point, they're pretty much reacting out of anger, especially those immediate reports from a lot and immediate tweets from many journalists out there and from many individuals just and many fans of the game and many people who just saw the story. It was an immediate impulse after hearing that audio from Donald Sterling, and to hear those comments, clearly racist comments. I'm going to be the first to tell you, I mean, as soon as I heard about it and heard the audio, I couldn't believe what was coming out the man's mouth. Could not believe it. And there was so much anger for me that, you know, I had to kind of suppress it and take a step back and say, okay, what's the next step here? What will the NBA do, and what can they do? Now, again, Bob makes a great point, because there are steps to a legal process, especially something as sensitive as this. There's a process. You know, he hasn't been even, you know, a lot of people were getting upset that they were using the term alleged comments. Well, they are alleged until they are investigated and to make sure that it is his voice. Now, at the end of the day, any John Doe walking down the street listening to the audio can tell that it's Donald Sterling making these comments. At the same time, there is a process to everything, and there is a legal step that you must take to ensure that everybody has equal opportunity and an equal, you know, fair shake when it comes to the legal system. So I understand where Bob's coming from. He'll get his punishment for sure, but you got to be patient, and the NBA is definitely making the right move and making sure they do get it right. Props to Adam Silver. We have another caller right now. Dave, how you doing? Welcome to Current Sports.
How you guys doing? I just real quick before the golf coach comes on, I wanted to respond to Bob's call. Bob, do you know why there's such a backlash to the NBA right now? Because this sits at the lap of David Stern. There is history with this owner going way back when he first bought the franchise. Mm-hmm. Let's remember how much of a laughing stock the LA Clippers were. Why? Because they in free agents.
Is he breaking up on us, Aaron? We are losing him. Dave, if you can, give us a call back. We have a weak connection. I'm not sure if you're on a cell phone or not, but give us a call back. Again, you can weigh on just like Bob and Dave are doing right now, 517-355-9527. Do we have Dave yet? Is he called back? No, nothing on Dave yet. But, Dave, call on back. You're definitely making a great point. 517-355-9527. What should happen to Donald Sterling? What should happen to Donald Sterling, folks? That is our question of the day. If you happen to be not by a phone, you can also go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports. We do have Dave back. Dave, I'm sorry about that. How you doing, man?
I'm sorry, I'm coming through Indiana. But, you know, anyway, yeah, they knew about Donald Sterling. And David Stearns and the rest of the owners, you know, just turned a blind eye to this guy. They knew what type of character he had. They knew what type of guy he was. And that's why there is backlash against the NBA. They should have dealt with this guy a long time ago. That's all I have. Thank you.
Hey, thanks a lot, Dave. And you know what? Listening to you know, some of the reports and some of the debates that were going back and forth about this issue, one of the biggest components of it had to do with, you know, what definitely Matt brought up yesterday, and that's that Donald Silver had a history of just, you know, head scratching actions and head scratching quotes that really, you know, just made you wonder about how he wasn't reprimanded in the past for these type of incidences. And for me, I personally blame kind of the starter of this whole thing, which we have not heard from yet, is the commissioner before Adam Silver, which is David Stern. I mean, David Stern definitely had the power to nip these sort of small incidences, if you will, in the bud when he first initially saw them. And there were many of them. This is not Donald Sterling's first time. Now, granted, this is his first time with a really in-your-face, blatant, you know, type of, you know, just raw racism here. But he's had instances in the past where David Stern could have put his foot down and said, "Hey, this is not going to happen in our league, and we're going to hand down a punishment if you continue this." It continued, and it eventually hit the fan. And now we have an escalated situation of where right now the NBA, all eyes are on the NBA on how they're going to handle the situation. And right now the NBA is just not in a good realm with the perception of an owner in the league, a predominantly African-American league, making these sort of comments. And it just does not bode well for the national perception of the league right now. And it's an unfortunate situation, and I do think Adam Silver is going to be interesting, though. It is really going to be interesting to see how they handle this because, granted, the comments that he made, they were totally, totally, totally racist, upsetting, every bad word I can think of, they were that. And you look at these comments, and you wonder how an owner can you know, be the owner of a team in a league like the NBA year by year by year for as long as he did it. Now, the incident itself, why I say it's going to be interesting to see how they hand down this punishment is because that when you look at it, the comments that he made were made in the confines of his own house, and he was recorded on tape by his alleged girlfriend. In the confines of his own house, which makes it kind of sticky. I saw a quote from Mark Cuban, who is the owner of the Dallas Mavericks, and Mark came out and said, you know, the owners committee, I guess, met about it and talked about it. He's talked with a few of his other colleagues who are owners in the NBA, and they're kind of with their hands tied right now because of the legality of the comments in the form of which they were made, which, again, is in the confines of his own house. So the NBA to regulate what a man can and cannot say in the confines of his own house kind of has its limitations. Now, granted, they can punish him for what was said, being as though it's been out there on a public forum and it's been on TMZ and, you know, everything else. So how they handle it, kicking him out the league, we're going to see. We're going to see. And I'm curious to give your thoughts on what exactly you think should happen to him. I think a big fine is going to happen. I think a lengthy suspension is going to happen. But it would definitely surprise me if they do decide to kick him out the league. It will surprise me. So 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. Let's hit the break. When we come back, we have so much to get to. Hopefully we'll get Stacy Slobodnik-Stoll, the head coach of the women's golf team, on the phone very soon to talk about her Big Ten championship win and, of course, to talk about the NCAA tournament and whatnot. Don't miss any of that. Current Sports returns in just a sec. Welcome back to Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin, now joined by production assistants Alex Sharg and Matt Ludke. Happy Tuesday,
guys. Happy Tuesday, Al.
Happy Tuesday.
Happy Tuesday. It's a nice day out there, too. About 50 degrees. Birds are chirping. Sun is shining, but it's a little rain in the forecast. Hope everybody is enjoying their day. Well, again, our question of the day, current sports question of the day on today's show is, what exactly do you think should happen to L.A. Clippers owner Donald Sterling? Now, at 2 p.m., Adam Silver, who is the commissioner of the NBA, he will address the media and the public on what exactly will happen as far as the NBA's limitations are concerned as to how they will punish Sterling. And we're asking you, what exactly do you think will happen and what should happen? 517-355-9527. And it's tough to put yourself in Adam Silver's shoes, especially when you talk about a socially, you know, controversial story such as this one. It's tough. It's really sticky. Guys, I got to ask you, what do you think is going to happen and what should happen to Donald Sterling if you are Adam Silver? A tough, loaded question, I know, to say the least. Matt?
It is a tough, loaded question because he has a couple different avenues he can take. What I think should happen, I think, you know, a lengthy suspension, like you said, a definite fine. You know, he's already kind of received a public shaming, so to speak, you know, nationwide. I think, honestly, I don't know if Sterling has to remove him from the organization and kind of take over the team, so to speak. Honestly, I think even if Sterling remains in power, his days are numbered because I cannot see that turning around and becoming a viable franchise in the future with him hanging over it. And I know that's how it's been for the 30 years that he's been there, but now that we have this, you know, black and white proof of these allegations, these racial allegations, it seems like the way that they're going to be able to draw players, it's just not going to be there.
Right.
Who in their right mind would want to, as a free agent, would want to go to L.A. to play in that organization, to play in that environment? I think even if he does keep control of the franchise, he's not going anywhere. Like it's not gonna end well for him, and his days are numbered either way.
I agree. And you know, it's so crazy because I woke up and read a few stories on this story even more. And you know, sponsors are pulling out now. You know, sponsors that sponsors the Clippers now. You know, on the seats. You know, I want to get the list of the sponsors that have actually pulled out of the L.A. Clippers organization and said, "Yo, we don't want any part of you right now." And it's amazing. That's money. That's moolah to the organization that trickles down to the players and coaches. That now also becomes a situation of very, very heated interest. And, you know, anytime you got an owner who is now affecting the pocketbooks of not only himself but those around him, now you have an escalated situation that is quickly spiraling out of control. Alex?
Yeah, and now you're thinking from a player's mindset in that a lot of them might request to be traded. We saw from Baron Davis on his thoughts about when he was there. You saw the tweet from him the other day. You're finally realizing it. And now it's like, aside from sponsors pulling out, is this going to be a ditch team? Are all the players just going to leave? They have so much talent on that team. Is this going to be a dark era for 20 years until a new owner comes along? Who knows? So that for me is another big part of the puzzle in which I don't know what the heck is going to happen to some of these players.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. And, you know, you talk about some of those sponsors, Mercedes-Benz, Virgin America Airlines, the Kumash Casino Resorts. I could go on and on here. Kia Motors, Sprint, Red Bull, Yokohama Tire and Lumber.
Kia Motors.
Yes. It's crazy.
Blake Griffin is the face of Kia Motors.
Right.
And they're going to pull sponsorship from the Clippers. I mean,
yeah.
That's big. Like, that's a huge deal. I think, you know, and like you said, when you start getting into the financial aspect of it, that stuff adds up.
It does.
That's a lot of cash just in the names you listed. And then, like you said, I'm sure there are many more, and there'll be more in the coming days. So
right.
I think,
man,
yikes.
That's unbelievable. State Farm is another one. I can go
mess.
On and on.
It's a mess.
It's a mess now. And, you know, and yeah, I just realized, yeah, Blake Griffin, it is Kia, isn't it?
Yeah.
It is. That's Blake Griffin's, you know, bread and butter right there. Oh, boy. Again, 517-355-9527. 517-355-9527. What exactly should happen to Donald Sterling? All right, guys, let's transition to a more local feel here. The MSU North End Zone project, guys, is really coming along quite impressively. You know, I've driven by there just about every day I do, and, you know, it's amazing to see the strides that this project is really taking place. And Flozo Adams, you know, we talked about that yesterday at the spring game. He's come out and donated $1.5 million among one of the most, biggest contributions from any MSU former athlete coming back to his alma mater and donating to MSU athletics. Really remarkable stuff. Again, it will be named after his mother. He's going to be focusing more on the locker room aspect. But this is really a big, big, big move when it comes to Alex's favorite subject, the world of recruiting. And a $24.5 million project we're talking about here. Again, it's delayed right now because I believe the original, as we just said on our headliners, the original finish date was for July. It's now being pushed to August, the middle of August. So it's really going to come along quite nice, I think. And it's really nice, you know, to see a program that's had the success that MSU has had, specifically this last season, coming off a Big Ten championship win and now a Rose Bowl championship win, to now have something that it can take pride in and develop their recruiting more and more and more. This powerhouse is really becoming a powerhouse. Alex, what are your thoughts on it?
My thoughts are, yeah, it's definitely going to help. But the reason that it was originally intended for July is because all of the big summer visit camps that go on with Michigan State football, there's a big period in the summer where student-athletes aren't playing football. It's that midway between when the season starts in August, when you have those 2 days as a high school football athlete, until the end of the semester, or even leading into spring. So the summer is the only period in time as a college athlete where you have the free time to go visit a university and check out schools. A lot of juniors right now are looking at these colleges now because when it comes to senior year and signing day, this is the only time they can go visit. And a lot of the players commit over the summer. So from a Michigan State football recruiting perspective, I can imagine it's very disappointing for Mark D'Antonio that it's not going to be finished on time. So am I happy about the project? Absolutely. Are you guys happy? I'm sure you are. And I think everyone at Michigan State thinks it's a great addition. But it's very disappointing that it's not ready in July.
Matt?
Yeah, I mean, I guess that's just a delay in its,
yeah, just
in
a delay.
Its benefits.
Right, right.
You know, like, it's not like it's not going to be celebrated when
it's there. Is it that big of a deal?
I don't know if it's that big of a deal, especially because, I guess the recruiting cycle is so accelerated now. I mean, guys aren't even waiting until their junior summers. They're committing as sophomores.
But still,
then they're changing their mind three times. So I feel like, you know, what happens this summer is going to change next summer anyway.
Right.
So maybe by the time it's done, it'll be there. But I think it's interesting because it's just part of the arms race of college sports.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, look at the facilities that they have at, like, Oregon and Tennessee.
Unbelievable.
And I mean,
Oregon
you know, closer to home, look at Michigan basketball.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they kind of renovate Chrysler,
yeah,
and all of a sudden their program is infused with new talent and you know, hope.
Right.
And now they're successful. You know, they're a great program in the Big Ten. So I think usually it's weird because you see facilities kind of updating so that teams can catch up to the rest of the league.
Mm-hmm.
But in this case, Michigan State has already caught up to the league. This is just the icing on the cake. This is, I think, just kind of for staying power. You know, it almost seems like a reward for the Rose Bowl, even though it was already in the works anyway. But it's nice to see the program has already kind of achieved a level of success, and now they're just getting something that's going to help them stay there rather than something that's, you know, intended to vault them to the next level.
Right. And I also think it depends on the kid, too. I mean, we're talking about, you know, these 17. That's why I hate recruiting.
You guys picking on me with this.
I hate recruiting, though.
You like targeting the guys that change their mind three times,
yeah,
the guys
I hate
that get
that.
Injured, sophomores.
They all do that, though.
I wouldn't say that, Al.
Those 17, 18-year-old kids don't know what they want to do when they come
out. I think it's ignorant to say that because most high school athletes,
okay,
when they're juniors, go to camps. It's a big deal. Michigan has a huge camp over the summer where they get all these national athletes that come in to compete at U of M summer camp, and a lot of them commit the last day of the camp. And although you get these stars, these five-star recruits, these flashy guys who commit to Alabama and they switch over to LSU, and then the mom gets mad on national television.
I bet you one just did it in this last minute, right now. I bet you one of them just switched.
Of course,
right now. It's crazy.
Of course, but when it comes to a lot of the in-state guys that are juniors, it's very important. And I agree, it is the icing on the cake. It's not like it's the fact that it's not going to be ready now for the players to see in the summer. It's not going to affect them most likely in any way. It'll be nice. It'll be a pleasant surprise if they commit. And they come here next year. But
don't you think a program like Michigan State, who's just won a Rose Bowl, for God's sake. I mean, they just won a Rose Bowl. They just won a Big Ten championship. The thing is, it's not like it's not going to get complete here. It's in the works.
Sure.
They got digitized replicas of how it's going to look. You know, don't you think a kid that sees a success along with coupled with the avenue that's in progress over there in the North End Zone, don't you think that coupled together, even though it's not done, that should be enough for the kid, right? I mean, what else you want him to do? Give him a full-blown massage when he comes on campus by a bunch of girls? I mean, come on, man.
No, it's nice, but there's something called recruiting promises, okay?
Uh-huh.
And it could be anything from promising how much playing time you'll get in a year in terms of when you come here and you're an early commitment for the summer, these facilities will be ready. There are many players who commit right now that are here on campus right now in the spring, in the summer, because they early enrolled last fall. And some of those promises may come that when you get here in the spring, you will have these full-blown facilities, mm-hmm. you'll have updated equipment, and it'll all be ready to go. I'm not saying this is true. I don't know this. But I'm saying it could be an issue where you make a promise to an athlete that early enrolled, he gets here, and the facilities still aren't ready.
Man, if he can't wait on a $24.5 million project, his snobby self needs to go somewhere else, okay?
I agree with you, but I'm putting the scenario out there.
Now,
he's getting like Richie Rich already.
The other aspect that I think we haven't discussed yet is that I feel like 90% of recruits that come to Michigan State, the big takeaway that they have is the family atmosphere. Mm. So it's not like the $24.5 million renovation is the number one selling point. I mean, I feel like it's way down on the list. I feel like the type of kids they recruit appreciate the atmosphere and what's going on the field and in the locker room and all that stuff. Not necessarily what the locker room looks like or what you know what the facilities look like, the recruiting room looks like. It's about what the coaches do, who they are, you know, what they preach, and how the players respond to it. So I think, as far as is this going to hurt recruiting since it's not done, I don't think so. Mm-hmm. As far as is that going to be the golden ticket for Michigan State to get recruits, I don't think that either. I think it might attract
a different, maybe a
slightly higher caliber high school player, but I don't think that's going to be the reason they commit or the end all be all. I think it's way more important than that.
I agree.
Far as what the coaches actually do and the structure they have in place. It is a nice perk, though. You can't deny that.
It is. And I tell you what, these kids, you never know what's going through these kids. I mean, they're 17 and 18 years old, for goodness sake. All right, let's hit the break. When we come back, we are going to talk to Stacy Slobotnik-Stoll, who is the head golf coach for the women's golf team here at Michigan State University. They just won a Big Ten championship. We'll tell you about how they did it. You don't want to miss that. Current Sports returns in just a sec. Welcome back to Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. Well, let's talk a little golf. Man, I cannot wait to get – I have not been on the links yet, but I'm counting down the days. And speaking of golf, the MSU women's golf team is pretty good, folks, to say the least, okay? The Michigan State women's golf team, they actually came off a Big Ten championship win. They tied Ohio State to clinch a share of it over the weekend. A remarkable accomplishment. Today we have the pleasure of welcoming head coach Stacy Slobotnik-Stoll to talk about that incredible accomplishment and so much more. Stacy, welcome to the show. How you doing?
Thanks. We're doing great.
I'm sure a Big Ten championship win will do that. And Stacy, yeah. I got to talk about the moment. Because when I read about this story, my jaw was completely on the floor and I was drooling. I mean, it was unbelievable. Alyssa Farrell sinking that 9-foot putt to clinch the share of the Big Ten title for you all. I just want you to set up that moment for us, because I believe right before that, an Ohio State player had put in a 20-footer to put the pressure all on Alyssa, right?
You got it. Yes, that's exactly what happened. It really, the whole championship came down to two players, the last two players on the golf course, the last hole. And it was an amazing moment. It was just one of those, you know, should have been on ESPN top 10 if the Big Ten would have, you know, would have turned in the film to them. I'm sure it would have made it. But yes, the Ohio State player, it was a par 5 that was reachable in 2, and the Ohio State player had hit her second shot short of the green, about 50 yards. Alyssa went for the green in 2. She had her favorite club in her hand and just didn't turn over the ball flight. Her ball flight didn't turn over how it normally does, and just hit the green and then just went into a little pot bunker, greenside bunker, and she had a great lie. She had about 25 feet to the pin from where her ball was. The Ohio State player was out, so she played first. She hit it up to 20 feet, pitched it up, and then it was Alyssa's turn. you know, both girls knew exactly what was going on and where everyone stood, and that they virtually were playing for the Big Ten championship amongst the two of them. Mm. Alyssa hit her sand shot and just caught the edge of the lip of the bunker. It ended up 9 feet, and the Ohio State player made her putt. It was an incredible roar.
Oh, man.
And, you know, that moment was, okay, now there's one player and there's one shot left. And, Alyssa, we read the putt from every way you could and analyzed it as much as we could, but we came up with that it was straight, and she hit it right in the center of the cup. So it was...
Wow.
It went from amazing roar when Ohio State made the putt to you could hear a pin drop to amazing roar. And it was an awesome ending to the tournament.
That is unbelievable, Stacey. Now, for you as a coach, when you see that 20-foot putt sink to the bottom of the hole, what do you do as a coach? I mean, what did you say to Alyssa? I mean, what was her demeanor like? Did you seem a bit nervous? I mean, because that's a lot of pressure for a college player. As a coach, how do you approach a moment like that?
Well, first of all, it's a lot of pressure no matter what level you're playing at. Mm-hmm. I mean, putts like that, you know, tournaments just don't always come down to finishes like that. And I don't care if it's one of the best players on tour, you know, a 9-foot putt to win the Masters, to win a PGA, LPGA tournament is, you know, it's really a gut check.
Right,
and
right. It's,
you know, you don't have a lot of time to sit there and think about it. You know, it's almost like, okay, it's my turn to play. And, you know, what we know is that in Alyssa's 4-year career at Michigan State, that we have prepared and trained her for that moment. And that's what we have to rely on. I was right next to her. You know, we were reading the putt together, and, you know, I just said to her once she took her stance, I just kind of, you know, very below my breath said, you know, you can do it. And, again, in practice, she practices putts like that. They putt to win. They, you know, we're doing that on a regular basis, mm-hmm. mentally saying, okay, this is to win the Big Ten. This is to qualify for the LPGA. And that's why golf is, you know, it truly is such a mental sport. But, Alyssa's a wonderful senior. She's had the experience. She's been in a lot of big moments. You know, I don't know when her next moment will come that was as big as this one, because it was a huge moment.
Yes.
It was just awesome.
Yes, it was. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're just now joining us here on Current Sports, we are talking with the head coach of the MSU women's golf team, Stacey Slobodnik-Stoll. Stacey, you know, reading the quotes after that incredible, incredible win, you caught that moment the best golf finish that you've ever been a part of. What are you going to remember the most, other than that moment, about that entire weekend and that win?
What am I going to remember?
Yeah.
Well, I just think it's probably watching that putt go in and then running and hugging Alyssa and, you know, having our whole team run onto the green. I think those moments are in your memory forever. I mean, forever. And, you know, you'll never forget what happened. And, again, winning a conference title it's not easy. It's a difficult thing to do. I hear Coach Izzo say that all the time. And, you know, in some of our programs, it's like everyone just expects that to happen all the time. And if we don't do it, you know, it's like, what's wrong with you? Why not? But, you know, it is. It's a great accomplishment. And I think, again, what I'll remember most is just the team that was there and how it all went down. And definitely Alyssa sinking that putt. And, you know, she's got nerves of steel, that's for sure.
You know, Stacey, it's unbelievable to be in this environment here in mid-Michigan covering MSU athletics, because they, again, like you just said, with Coach Izzo, with the incredible men's basketball program, you look at D'Antonio with the Rose Bowl champion MSU football team, to the soccer team that went to the Elite Eight. I mean, I could go on and on and on when it comes to the track record of success, especially just right now in the moment here at Michigan State University. I've always believed that success breeds success. How important are the rest of the coaches around this campus important to you? And what advice do they give you? And what advice do you give, you know, each other?
Oh, they're, for me, because I started coaching at such a young age, you know, Coach Izzo has been an inspiration, a mentor, a friend. I've read everything that he says. I try and emulate what he does. And one of the big things that we, you know, copied from Coach Izzo's program, you know, he said, I heard him say this very early in my coaching career, was he wants to create a tradition of excellence here and not just a good team here or there. And mm-hmm. I thought, wow, that's awesome. You know, that's just a great statement. And obviously Ron Mason had already done that. He was here when I started. Nick Saban was our football coach. And so just always having positive coaches and mentors around us, you know, surrounding us, it just means so much. And what a resource Coach D'Antonio and Coach Izzo, you know, have been. And I think one really cool thing about our football team winning the Rose Bowl, we put the Rose Bowl logo on our spring clothing, our competition wear. So
did
while
you?
We were in competition, had roses on it. And there were a lot of teams that really didn't like that. Some teams thought it was cool, but I'll tell you, a couple of them pretty close to us in driving distance didn't even want to look at it. And to us, it was just another way of inspiration. And our team, we, my assistant coach and I always do this little video for the girls before we tee off in the Big Ten Championship the evening before. And Coach D was very gracious to be in our video. And the girls just thought that was so cool that he would take the time to do that for us. And mm-hmm. Sunday on our way home, amongst numerous phone calls that we were getting, Coach Izzo and Coach D'Antonio both called. And that really meant so much, not only to me, but also to our players, just to know that they took the time out to call and congratulate us. And
wow.
Both of them wanted to hear the play-by-play. And, you know, again, it's you want to surround yourself with better people, and that's how you learn, and that's how you'll become better. And it's just great to be at an institution where you have the opportunity to do that, that I can walk into any coach's office and say, how would you handle this situation? What would you do? How did you do that? And, you know, to have those resources is really a really cool thing.
Yes, without it, that is such a cool moment. I love the Rose Bowl idea on the jerseys. That's great. That's great. That's bossy right there, Stacy. Now I gotta ask you. You know, your third Big Ten championship in 4 years. Do you almost have to pinch yourself when you think about this particular stretch of consistent success, Stacy? And as you evolved as a coach over the years, have you done anything different as far as preparation of your team is concerned?
Well, do I pinch myself? Yes, but I feel like I pinch myself every day because I feel like I'm so fortunate to be in the position that I'm in, that I got to go to this great institution and play golf for Mary Fossum, our legendary coach, and that I was coached by her and I learned from her, and everything that I do in this program is just a reflection of the Fossum family. So, you know, what I learned, I'm just passing on what the Fossums really instilled in our men's and women's golf programs. And so I pinch myself every day because I get to do something that I truly love to do. And I think it's so great to be able to have an influence over young people's lives and help shape them and guide them and prepare them for the LPGA or for business or for being a mom, you know, whatever that may entail. Mm. It's really great. And I feel like I've really found my calling in life. And I love what I do.
And, you know, you just talked about the Fossum family, that incredible family, you know, for you, Stacy. How big of an impact has Bruce and Mary Fossum been in your tenure at MSU? Bruce, of course, sadly passing away at the age of 86 last month. And how much, you know, of just his memory was on your mind throughout the weekend?
Well, without a question, you know, of course, in my little world, like one of the best calls that I get to make after we win a Big Ten championship is to Mary. And anyone who knows Mare sees that she wears all of our rings on her fingers every day. So I select one, you know, and I wear on my right, you know, ring finger.
Right.
And Mare wears all of them every day. And so one of the greatest calls that we get to make is, you know, is to Mare. And I knew she knew that we won because she was watching Golfstat, the computer. But, you know, getting to call her and saying, okay, what finger is going to be next, Mare?
right.
You know, that's a really great call that I get to make. But, I mean, I don't even know how to classify Fossums and what they've meant to me and what they've done for me. Everything that I have is because of them. Mm-hmm. Mary is the one that gave me an opportunity. And when I was 22 years old, I really didn't understand. And I'll never forget, my dad said to me when Mare called and she said, do you want to be my assistant coach? And I was playing on tour and I was down in Florida and I thought I was, you know, living the life. And I really at first was like, I don't know. And my dad said to me, do you realize how many girls Mary has coached in, you know, 22 years at that time, 23 years? Mm-hmm. You know, when you're a kid that young, you don't think of things like that. But I'll always remember that because, you know, you just wonder, like, why did she pick me? Why? You know, I don't know those reasons. And hopefully she saw something or thought something, you know, a characteristic I may have had would have been good for coaching. And, you know, gosh, how thankful am I for her, you know, giving me the opportunity. And her and Bruce were my two mentors, you know, in coaching. There's not a lot of people that understand outside, you know, what you go through and the decisions you have to make and the different situations you have to handle. So, you know, those two, I sat in their family room so many times, whether it was with trophies, without trophies, you know, crying from happiness, crying from sadness that we weren't playing well. You know, they've been my mentors, you know, since I came to Michigan State in 1989.
Wow. I tell you what, I know Mary has a big smile on her face, and Bruce is certainly looking from above at the incredible things you are doing with this program, Stacy. Now, Stacy, you all are now headed to the NCAA Regionals for the 16th consecutive year. My goodness. Earning a number 8 seed in the West Regional. Was this the seed and tourney placement you all hoped for?
Well, for me personally, yes, because after reviewing the three sites, none of which I had ever been to, I thought that Seattle, even though it is a long trip and we don't have much time to, you know, to turn over and to prepare, the resort looks awesome. So it's at a resort in the middle of Washington called Suncadia Resort,
right
in the middle of mountains and streams, and there's all kinds of cool outdoor stuff to do, which I'm very passionate about as well.
Nice.
So it just, I think, is going to give our players, we're always looking to give them not only golf experiences, but life experiences. And with this place, it's not just going to be we're going to go stay in a hotel and golf and go out to dinner. We're going to be able to do some things with the team that are going to be very unique and fun and interesting. And those are things that not only are they always going to remember winning a Big Ten championship in 2014, we're going to be able to do some things in Washington that they'll also remember that we get to do as a team, some really fun activities as well. So I think it's great we're going there. We really weren't interested in going to the Central Regional, which is in Stillwater, Oklahoma, because the national championship is in Oklahoma. So spending 2 weeks in Oklahoma. So I thought going out to Seattle would be a great place, and sure enough, that's where we were picked to go. So we're excited about it.
That is great stuff. And, you know, I've always been interested in this, especially around this time of the year for you guys, Stacy. You know, when you talk about a course that is pretty foreign to you, that you really have no experience on, I mean, how do you prepare for a course that, you know, you really have no idea about?
Right. Well, we go on the internet first, and we have the yardage, so we're very aware of the yardage that we're going to play. And then we do as much investigative work on the internet. What kind of grass, what kind of situations do we think we're going to see out there? From what we can tell from the internet already, it looks like a Northern Michigan course. And quite honestly, throughout a girl's four-year career here, or even just this year, we have played in so many different conditions, on so many different grasses, and so much different weather that we're already prepared for whatever this course would show us. There's going to be nothing that's going to surprise us, scare us. We've played in wind, rain, snow, 80 degrees, 40 degrees. So we've really covered all gamuts just in this year alone. So it's having one practice round is just fine. We take our time, we go through it, we get yardage books as soon as we get there, and we'll be just fine. We're looking forward to seeing a new golf course and having a new experience.
That is great stuff. And you know what? My engineer just did some Googling himself, and he said he wanted to ask you what particular course are you guys playing on? He said there's multiple there.
Yeah, it's the Tumble Creek course.
Tumble Creek, gotcha.
Yes. So it's their private course. So I think Suncadia is like a huge development, and I think this is their private course, you know, members-only course. So that's the one we'll be playing.
Wow, there you have it. All right, the MSU women's golf team, again, heading to Tumble Creek Club at Suncadia Resort, May 8th through the 10th in Washington for the NCAA Regional. Stacy, thank you so much for joining me, and good luck. I will definitely be tuned in to see how you guys perform.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me, Al.
No problem. Again, that's Stacy Slobotnik-Stoll, the head coach of the Big Ten championship-winning MSU women's golf team. Alex and Matt, wow, what a moment to get there, though. The person before you hit a 20-footer, and you got to hit a 9-footer to win the Big Ten championship. I probably would have passed out and fainted. The ball would probably still be there right now. I probably would have passed out and fainted. That's too much pressure. That's unbelievable stuff right there.
Oh. Well, you know, they say pressure makes diamonds. Yeah. And you might
or
as well
bust pipes. My pipe would have busted.
You might as well win a championship while you're doing it. A 9-foot putt, though, that's right in that range where it's not long enough to be considered, you know, a long putt where you're not super worried about it, but it's not short enough to be a gimme.
Right.
It's right in that sweet spot where it is incredibly tough to judge. So hats off.
It is. It's tough. Alex?
Yeah, it's just like shooting a bunch of free throws. Then you come to the last part of the game. It's not that three-pointer. It's not a half-court shot at the end. You have to hit your two free throws. And it's just one of the hardest moments in basketball, as you know, Alan. I like to compare the two because literally a 9-foot putt, it's kind of in that same wheelhouse. And the moment just sounds like something you read in a fairy tale book. I mean, it just sounds like something that you see in a Masters thing every day with Phil Mickelson's big putts, as we've seen before. I mean, unbelievable.
That is one unbelievable. And, you know, hats off. Again, the MSU women's golf team, the track record of success, we're spoiled to cover athletics here at Michigan State. You guys know that? I mean, from MSU football to Tom Izzo to soccer, baseball team is decent. I mean, it's unbelievable how the entire athletic program, Michigan State, is able to just breed consistent success year after year, and doing it in multiple platforms, that it really just blows my mind. And, you know, wish them luck. Again, that's at Tumble Creek Club, and it's a private course out in Sun Cady Resort in Washington. That's May 8th through the 10th. I'm sure everyone will be tuned in to that one. All right, well, 3 minutes. Well, actually 2 minutes now, ladies and gents. We will know the fate, at least the NBA fate, of Donald Sterling. And, you know, will he get fined? Will he get suspended? We'll find out. And right after we get off air here on Current Sports, we still have not gotten to the Wings yet, man. It's kind of old news now for the Wings, who are not out of the playoffs. But, again, if you want to comment on anything we've talked about today, you can do so at Facebook.com/CurrentSports. And I'm always tweeting at Al Martin, WKAR. Reminding you all that Current Sports TV tapes tomorrow. That's right at 6 p.m. as I sit down with the newly named captain of the MSU hockey team, Mike Ferentino. You do not want to miss that. And you also get to see some footage from the Battlefield Brawl, where I am so sore still. Still very sore from that flag football game that the Ducker brothers put on. Great event. And also, we have a Rose Bowl special looking back at the season that was for the MSU football team. That's right. I want to look back one last time, as this weekend, a lot of students are graduating from the amazing College of Michigan State University, and in honor of that, we're going to celebrate athletics. And the Chase It Special, you don't want to miss that on Sunday night at 6:30 p.m. on WKAR-TV. And before that, you'll get to see a pretty cool feature on the MSU band as they were out there, and you'll get to kind of see a behind-the-scenes look as to what goes in on their preparation for a Rose Bowl. So you don't want to miss any of that. That's at 6 o'clock and 6:30. You can watch that on WKRTV. All right, folks. Well, thank you so much for joining me today on the show. You've been listening to Current Sports with me, Al Martin, on WKR East Lansing. Thanks to Stacey Zlobotnik-Stowe for joining me today. As always, take care. Have one fantastic Tuesday. And be easy, people.